Well, the story continues today. We've been in this scene in Luke 14. It's a dinner party. We started there a couple of weeks ago. The host is a very prominent Pharisee, religious leader in Jesus' day. In fact, he's part of the Sanhedrin, which is kind of the religious judges who would judge religious cases if somebody broke the religious law. The attendees at the party are the scribes and other Pharisees. So the scribes are the experts in the religious law, and the Pharisees are those who are trying to kind of weave that religious law into the fabric of the society and are very diligent about keeping that law. And then Jesus is there, and for a while there was a man there that had some swelling in an arm or a leg, but Jesus healed him and sent him away. And that was part of the trap or the scenario there was it was on a Sabbath. And so they wanted to see if Jesus would do this act of healing on a Sabbath. But Jesus pointed out to them that they would help an animal that was in a well or in a ditch on a Sabbath. Why would he not help a man who was in pain or sick? And they really had no answer to that. And then he launches into what's going to be three parables or stories there at the dinner table. Jesus kind of uses things that are going on around them to weave these stories together. We talked last week about how these stories are a particular kind of story called parables. You may remember if you were here, I tried telling a joke last week. Parables are kind of like a joke. They're not funny, but they have a twist at the end or a punchline where if you're cued in and you're understanding the parable, you kind of go, oh, I get it. And suddenly it's about you and the point has been made and it's kind of grabbed hold of you. So last week we looked at the first parable, which Jesus addressed to the people at the table. He had observed them kind of struggling to get the best seats. And then he started telling a story about some guests who struggled to get the best seats. It wasn't too thickly veiled, and they, I think, got the point. He was talking about humility and how you should always defer to the folks around you, not to mention to the host, who ultimately should decide who sits where. So it was a lesson in humility, and one of the great things about parables is any one of these people at the table could have quoted scripture that says you should be humble, right? You should not put yourself above other people. They could have rattled that off in a second. But by telling the story in the very moment where he had kind of caught them, you know, jostling for the best seat, that lesson about humility kind of got past their guard and I think probably pierced them to the core. Well, just as he finished that story, he turns to a second story, now addressed to the host. So this is the head Pharisee, the one whose house it's in. But we're going to see that all those at the table, and us included, get invited to kind of put ourselves into the story, whether that's and that's going to be the trick. Whether in the story, do we identify ourselves as invited guests? Do we identify ourselves as the host? So you heard this story about a host who gave a luncheon and dinner, and Jesus says, don't invite your friends. Instead, invite the outcast, the sick, the lame, and so forth. So we want to walk through that story just a little bit, verse by verse today. So I want to start with verse 12, kind of the end of that. And this is another parable. It has kind of an unexpected twist, and in a way it starts right up front with what's unexpected. Because Jesus, he begins this by saying, now listen, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, if you have a party, here's who you should not invite, right? Don't invite your friends. Don't invite your relatives. Don't invite influential people that you might want to impress, right? So right off the bat, if you're sitting there, if you've ever thrown a dinner or a party, you're thinking, what's he talking about? That's not how I operate. He's telling all the people that I would first think to invite to something. He just said, don't invite them. And what's even more unusual is the reason he gives for not inviting them. He says, don't invite them, your friends, relatives, or rich neighbors, because they might invite you back. That'd be great if my rich neighbor would invite me back, right? Well, here's what Jesus is not talking about. He's not talking about a literal dinner party. In fact, I would go so far as to say, it's okay with Jesus if you want to have a birthday party and invite your friends or invite your relatives or not invite your relatives. However you want to do that is fine. What Jesus, I think, is weaving together here, using this setting of a dinner party, is he's trying to tell them something about God and how God works. because there's all this great imagery in Scripture of heaven being like a great dinner party, a banqueting table, that God, the Lord of hosts, invites the whole earth, all the nations, people from all the nations of the earth to gather around this table. And I think what Jesus is doing here is he's weaving this very simple story set in the very setting that they're in to tell them something about what God is like. And again, these are the folks that should know just what God is like. They studied the Scriptures diligently, but his story, this parable, is going to allow him to kind of get through their defenses and I think open them up to see in a new way and in a fresh way just what God is like. So here's how I would explain this weird thing about don't invite your friends. The point is not to never do it. The point is that when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, when it comes to God's great banquet, we don't buy our way in to that, right? It's only at the invitation of God, the gracious host. How is it that my friends and relatives buy their way into my part? Well, I mean, simplest, and there's nothing twisted or sinful or deceitful in this. I just enjoy my friends, right? So that's why I would invite them to my party. That's the payback, is I enjoy them, right? I enjoy my relatives. You may not. That's okay. You invite the people that you want to be there, or you might invite the rich neighbor because you do hope to develop a relationship. That's okay. That's how human relationships work. But what Jesus is saying is that's not how God works. God does not only invite into heaven, invite to his table the people that have something to offer God, right? God's invitation is wide open. So Jesus says in verse 13, this is who you do invite, right? Let me read it again. When you give a reception, do invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. They are those in this story who cannot buy their way in. If you're the host in that setting, you would think, why would I invite these people that I not only don't know, but have various struggles in life? That's going to actually maybe take some effort from me to include them. Jesus' point is, that's exactly what God is like. And here's the twist to this. Well, let me ask this first. I won't do this to you, and I would not do this to you, but if I came up to you on the street and I said, what is your assurance, or why do you think you will go to heaven or be in God's presence one day? And the range of things that might run through your head are likely things like, well, I'm a good, faithful church member. I come to worship, maybe not every week, but a lot of weeks. Or I try to pray once a day. Or my mom or my grandmother or my dad raised me in the faith, and I'm a good son, I'm a good daughter, I've held to the faith. We might give any kind of reasons why God would invite us in. And what Jesus' story says is you don't buy your way in. Any of those things may be true of you, and those are wonderful things. You're blessed if you've experienced them. But he says when it comes to God's banquet, God just invites everyone. And here's the flip in this story, where I think if somebody was sitting there listening, trying to place themselves in the story, I bet every single scribe and Pharisee at that table, and probably most of us, would have identified ourselves with the friends, right? Host is throwing a party, right? This guy, this house we're sitting in with Jesus, he threw a party and he invited me. I'm one of his friends. I'm one of his respected colleagues. I deserve to be here. And Jesus says, no, that's not how God works. God actually invites those who have nothing to offer to the host. Suddenly the story is flipped on its head, and I think the hope is, and some, at least one at the end will see, realize maybe I don't have anything to offer God. Maybe it's just a gracious offer on God's part that he invites me to come to his table. I mean, that's one. There's actually, I think, two powerful messages in this parable. That's one of them to me. Is where do you see yourself as a worthy friend of God that deserves God's mercy? Or do you identify yourself with one of those who has nothing to pay, to earn, your way into heaven. And Jesus' telling of this story just flips all that on their head. And somebody pointed out in Sunday school, and I'm glad this came out. I had not thought of it. There was, in fact, one example of someone who was sick, who was at that party, and it was the man with the swelling in his leg or arm. He had been invited, but it wasn't to include him at the table as part of the banquet. It was to try to trap Jesus, and then he was sent away. So Jesus is weaving in all these real life, moment by moment things that are going on around him to kind of part the curtain and say, this is what God is like. A couple more things about that. This question of payment, of riches, I was trying to think of a way to illustrate the challenge there, right? Because, I mean, there's a part of me that says, why should I not try to impress God or be that good friend or that neighbor? Why should I not deserve a seat at the table? And this may be too far afield, but I was thinking about the distraction of riches or status and thinking about a child's birthday party. And this is a completely concocted story. But imagine, if you can, a young child, 7, 8, 9 years old, has a group of other kids there. And it's time to give presents and open presents. And they're going around and, you know, this child gives a present and it's a shiny toy. It's like the hottest new thing. And another child gives this game that the birthday child's always wanted. The parents maybe have given the first cell phone or something like that. Imagine going around the room and you get the whole range of presents and gifts, right? When you invite people to your party, to your birthday party, that's part of the cultural thing, right? They give gifts and it's fun and it's wonderful and there's nothing wrong with that. Imagine, though, there's this one child that has come to the party that offers a card. You know, it's not a wrapped gift, offers a card, and the birthday child opens it. And all it says in there is, I want to be your friend. And if you're the average 8-year-old boy, you're like, you know, thank you. That's maybe out in left field, but to me that illustrates the struggle we have to see the power of this parable that Jesus told. What God offers us is not this system of payment and reward. You do good and you get in. You have enough Christian status and I'll give you a seat at my table. It is this generous, no strings attached, gracious, hey, I want you, just for you to come. Whatever your strengths or weaknesses, whatever you have or lack, that doesn't matter. I want you to come to my table. And that's what Jesus is describing at this. And I think it's so counterintuitive to the way we associate with people and hang around people and invite people. And yet he says that's what the great host is like. So I want to look at verse 14. And it talks about blessing. It talks about repayment. But I want to apply it to us because I think there's two significant things going on in this parable. One is, where do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as the worthy guest, or do you see yourself as one of those who had no way, no payment, no way to earn a spot at the table, and yet God has said, come in, I want you to be here, I want you to be with me. So that's one kind of stream running through this. And I think that's what the invited guests who heard Jesus would have latched onto. But he actually addressed the parable to the host, to the master of the house. And so there's also, and probably the primary message of this is for a host. What would that person have heard? And that makes me think of our own role as a church. I mean, that's where I connect personally as one that God has invited. For nothing I've done, right? Pure grace. As a pastor and as a church collective, I find myself in the host in the story. And it's along the lines of the open house theme that we've talked about. It is good and right that we would have our doors wide open for all who would come and to welcome and greet and love and receive anyone who would come through our doors, invited by God's grace to come in. But there is a quality of most churches, I think, that if we think about who we might invite or welcome or feel warmth towards, we tend towards friends, relatives, the rich neighbor next door, right? The same kind of categories here. Our nature is to welcome and receive folks who are like us or who can in some way give something to us. But that's just what Jesus challenges here. He would never say, don't be welcoming. Don't shut your doors and shut everyone out. But this particular parable is like open house plus. It's so much more than just welcome whoever comes by or whoever you may invite. This is this other side. This is us being sent out. And he's going to go even further into this in the parable that we're going to look at next week. But across the bottom there, this is how I would sum up how I think the church relates to this parable. It is that we are temporary, earthly hosts for the great banquet of heaven. And if Jesus is here describing the great banquet of heaven, where no one is there because they earned it or can pay for it or deserve it, but because God has loved them, that's our template for how to be open house, right? So it's more than just welcoming the folks that we think to invite or who show up. It's actually going out and looking for the last and the lost and the least of these whom God loves and saying, listen, I have good news for you. And whether you come to our church or not, whether you go to the church down the street or you just spend time trying to figure out who God is on your own, this is what God's love is like and living that out. Right? So that's where I connect as an individual, as one of the spiritually poor and wretched that God has invited to his table. And that's where I connect as a pastor and part of this church called Good Shepherd, is that God has sent us out to be earthly, temporary examples of the kind of hosts that Jesus describes here. Then in verse 15, and I love this, I had the picture last week of there's a character from Parks and Rec, but having this shock, you know, surprise, I get it look at the end of the first parable. I think it happened all over again at the end of this one, because Luke describes in verse 15, one of those who was at the table heard what he said and exclaimed, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. So imagine it being that guy who's smiling. It like clicked, right? This story that Jesus told, I can imagine, and this is the point of a parable, is that it kind of sifted through, why am I here? Who am I in this story? Is he talking about me? And him getting it. The point is that the person who is blessed is not the person who deserves the kingdom of God, because there isn't such a person. The one who is blessed is not a Pharisee because he's kept all these rigorous laws. The one who is blessed is the one whom God has invited to sit at his table. And that is truly a broad, wide, deep guest list. And Jesus is going to kind of press into that next week. But I think we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. Did this guy actually get it wrong, or did he get it right? I think he glimpsed the hugeness, the significance of a God who would invite you and many more that we don't see in here, who would invite us to his banqueting table just out of love, because he wants you to be there. And so his exclamation was, blessed is everyone who comes to that table. It's not just us scribes and Pharisees in here. It's not just us sitting in Good Shepherd Church, or even in a church this morning. It's all who would hear God's invitation and come. And we'll look next week. We'll actually start with this verse and go to next week. Jesus, sounds like Jesus is kind of correcting him, but I think Jesus just builds on and amplifies that man's answer, that indeed, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Let's talk about who that is and how you get there. So here's kind of my final appeal, and I don't mean for this to come across negatively in any way, but I want to ask, do you hear this word that Jesus is speaking? That God is looking for a church, for individuals who grasp the open-handedness and the wideness of God's grace and mercy towards the world. Because I think if even one really got that, it would transform our church. I think if two or three really heard and internalized and lived that out, it would transform our neighborhood that we keep talking about. I mean, Jesus had just 12 who, I'm not sure they all ever at one time got it. They kind of in fits and starts got it. And that led to changing the world. This is the very heart of the good news. What God is like, what God is, how God loves, who God loves, what the good news is, what it is that God invites us to. This is right at the very heart. And beyond classes and bulletins and music and VBS and all the other wonderful things we do, this, I believe, is the mission of God. So I would invite you to read it and reread it and say, do I see myself in there? Do I understand it? And ask God to bless the hearing of his word. Amen.